Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. Now, we're only going to deal with this one verse because it deals with a major subject in the Bible, the subject of eternal security. So let's read the verse, John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, look what you read there. He says this, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, what? Everlasting life. Not temporary life, but everlasting life. And, second thing he said, shall not come into condemnation. So there's, what do you say? Unless, he didn't say that. He said, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed, that's a past tense thing, something that's already happened, from death unto life. So three places in John chapter 5, verse 24, you read about a saved soul, and the condition of that soul is not the condition of a man that's hanging in a balance, waiting to lose his salvation. That's the condition of a man that has everlasting life, a man that will not come into condemnation, a man that is passed, that's the state of being that he is passed from death unto life. So how can you say that he could go back and die? I'm not talking about a natural death, but the spiritual death or the second death that is spoken of in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Over there in Revelation 21, 8, there's a second death. The fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see that? Which is the second death. So when a man passes from death unto life, he's not going to face the second death. Now, you know, the reason we're going to take our time with this one verse is simply because there's a lot of misinformation. And it's based upon two things. Number one, an inappropriate application of the words of God, and two, self-righteousness. And I guess you could say a third thing is illogic. I guess it would be the third thing. Basically, it seems unreasonable to self-righteous sinners and illogical to unrighteous sinners that a man could actually be saved and not lose his salvation. It just doesn't seem reasonable to them. And so everlasting life, as far as they're concerned, is not really everlasting. It's everlasting until the time that you lose it, in which case it's no longer everlasting, which seems to be strange. And you're not really passed from death unto life, although the Bible says you are, that you will pass from death unto life after you die this death if you don't lose your salvation. And shall not come into condemnation doesn't really mean shall not come into condemnation. It just means that you won't come into condemnation if certain circumstances don't exist in your life. So there's a strange mixture there, because we're going to look at some Bible verses today that clearly show you, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that when a person is saved, they are saved and they will not lose that salvation. And all that I want us to concern ourselves with today is, why do you want to run to a verse after hearing a clear verse on eternal security and say, well, what about such and such? Any time that I've ever dealt with anybody personally who doesn't believe in eternal security, they always run to another verse rather than simply agreeing with God about what he said in the verse that we're looking at. And today we're going to look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 verses that show you that you cannot lose your salvation. And while we're going through this, if you believe that you can lose your salvation, you're going to be already mounting up your defenses. You're not going to be listening to what the Bible says. You're going to be mounting up your defenses as to why this Bible that we're looking at is wrong, and while you're right, and you're going to be running to verses in your head that say certain things that would indicate to you that you can lose your salvation. And let me say then, before we embark in these other verses, two things. Number one, there are no doubt verses in the Bible which show you that a man can lose his salvation. I know where they are. I've got them marked. One day when we come across a text that's appropriate for that teaching, we will deal with it. Those verses that show you that you can lose your salvation are not verses about a born-again person, period. Secondly, there are verses which seem to teach that you can lose your salvation. It's not absolutely clear. Those verses are likewise right, but they don't deal with salvation. They deal with something else, like losing an inheritance or losing rewards. But these verses we're going to look at today are not iffy. They're not questionable. They don't fit in a different period or a different time frame. They are now. They are clear, and they deal with salvation. Okay, so what we've seen in John chapter 5, verse 24, is the statement, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," number one, "hath everlasting life," not temporary life, "and shall not come into condemnation," promise of God, "and is passed from death unto life." Now, for you to take that verse and say, "Yeah, but," and run to another verse of Scripture is a definite mistake. Because my question to you is, what does that verse right there say, if it doesn't say what it says? It says you have everlasting life, you will not come into condemnation, and that you are passed from death unto life, is what it says. So if that's what it says, then, and that's what it is, then you have eternal security. If that's not what it says, then what is it saying? Because it's awfully clear by itself. But that's not all. Look in John chapter 6 at verse 37. John chapter 6 and look at verse 37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." Now watch it. "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." You see what he said? "I will in no wise cast out." Excuse me. I know how the mind works, and I realize that your mind is already running to Matthew 24:13. "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." Doesn't have anything to do with a man that's born again. That is not a verse about born again people. That thing concerning the end deals with the end of a period of time called the end of the world, and it does not deal with the end of a man's life. So don't go running over there. I know how the mind works. Don't let your mind run off with that. Listen to what the Bible is saying in John chapter 6, verse 37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Now I want to ask you a question. If that's what it says, and it says that, then how can you say that it doesn't say that, what it says? What wise is it, what case is it, that would cause you to lose the salvation that God has given you when he says clearly, "I will in no wise cast out"? You say, "Well, but," no, don't go butting. Billy goat's butt. Reasonable human beings listen to what God said, receive what he said into their minds and into their hearts, and if their doctrine is a little fouled up because they did not understand what you're looking at today, then you change the doctrine. Your doctrine, not the Bible's doctrine, to fit what the Bible says, not to prove what you believe. The most dangerous thing a man can do with the Bible is use it to prove what he already believes. Dangerous. The right thing to do with the Bible is to receive what God said and believe what he said, and if your doctrine is fouled up, then fix your doctrine. More times than not, people will use a Bible to prove what they said. Terrible mistake. You say, "You're just proving what Baptists believe." No, I'm not proving what Baptists believe. I'm telling you what the Bible says, okay? John chapter 1, verse 12. Watch it again. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now watch it. When they receive him, he gives them power to become the sons of God. When does the transaction take place? 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. When does the transaction take place? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not later. Now. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know. See, it's a surety, it's a certainty, it's a fact. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Unconditional. Now are we the sons of God. Okay, since you like logic in order to debate these issues, let's use a little logic. If a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ, according to John 1:12, and becomes a son of God, now, according to 1 John 3:2, how is it that he can lose his sonship when you, who are not more powerful than God, will have a son that can never lose his sonship with you? That's illogical. That's unreasonable. I'll give you an example. Let's say that your son, well, no, let's not make it so personal. Let's say my son. Let's say that my son decides that, hey, Dad, I don't like this anymore. I don't like to be called by your last name. I don't like living with you. I don't like what you stand for. I don't like Mom. I'm leaving. And he goes all the way from this country to a foreign country, and he goes way out into a tribal area, and he marries some tribal woman, and he changes his name to some strange tribal name. And he doesn't want to correspond with me. He does not want an inheritance, all that stuff. And so basically he is broken all fellowship. There will be no more contact with him. And written out of the will, I disown you as a dad and you disown me as a son. The whole thing. Okay. And he goes out there into the tribal area. And he has a baby. Who is the grandfather and who is the grandmother of that baby? Well, I am. You see, because in fact, he cannot change the fact that he is my son, and he cannot change the fact that that is my grandson. Likewise, when God says, behold, now are we the sons of God, then you have a position with him that you cannot lose. You can lose your life, you can lose your wealth, you can lose your health, you can lose your mind, you can lose your inheritance, but you cannot lose your sonship. It's impossible. Galatians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. It's a fixed deal. But that's not all. Let's look at something else that the Bible says. John chapter 10, and look at verse 27. John chapter 10, look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, not temporary life. And they shall never perish, not perish under certain circumstances. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, now I see. When I get saved, I am put into the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So now I'm in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the hand of God the Father. I told that to a fellow one time who was a yeah butter. They're all over the place. Yeah butter. Yeah but. You can fall out. No man can pluck you out, but you can fall out. That's what he said. So I turned him to Jude, verse 24. Jude is the last book in your Bible right before the book of Revelation. I turned him to Jude, verse 24. And the Bible says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Wait a minute. How are you going to fall out when the Bible says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling? You can't fall out. Nobody can pluck you out. You say, yeah, but, you know, you ought to get control of that mind and think clearly about what God said. God said he has eternal life. He'll never perish, and no man's going to pluck them out of my hand. Nobody is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Somebody said, well, the devil can. I laughed about that. You just can't imagine. I just laughed about that. Say, in what respect? I'll tell you what. A preacher was preaching one time, and he says, you know, if a man could pluck, if the devil could pluck you out of the out of God's hand, here's what he'd have to do. First of all, he'd have to go through God the Father's hand and pry those fingers loose of you. And the devil's not strong enough to do that. But if he could, then he would have to pry the fingers off of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he can't do. But if he could, then he would have to go through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to get to my soul. And if he went through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he'd be a saved devil, not a lost devil, and he ain't getting saved. So he ain't getting my soul. You ought to take confidence in what God said rather than in your perversion of Scripture. You say, preacher, you're being too direct and too rude. You know something? All I'm really doing is upholding the words of God, and you know as well as I do that God's word says exactly what you're hearing me say. I'm not twisting it. I'm not going to Greek and Hebrew. I'm not perverting it by some doctrine and adding things to it to make it work out to my way of thinking. I'm telling you what it says. You know that I'm telling you what it says, and you know that it says what it says, and you know that what it says is right. Your problem is you just don't want to believe it. How's that? That's a little more charitable. You just don't want to believe what it says. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than, now here it is, much more than, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. See that? Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. He said we're going to be saved from wrath through him. And it's a promise of God. But at the same time, he says we're now justified. Well, understanding the doctrine of justification would clear up your misunderstanding of the doctrine of eternal security. To be justified means you already have had to be tried. To be justified means you've already had to face God, and God has already had to pronounce you not guilty. And if he has pronounced you not guilty, and he has justified you, then he cannot bring you back into the courtroom and try you again and then make you guilty for something that you're not guilty for. Say, well, you can be guilty for sin. No, you can't. Much because God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by his blood. He's already paid for all the sins. You can't be hauled back into court and tried again. A man can't be tried twice for the same crime. You say, well, preacher, he said, we're all going to have to stand before God and be judged. You're right. But you're not going to be judged for whether you go to heaven or go to hell. You're going to be judged for your service to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's found in Romans 14:10, 2 Corinthians 5:10, and 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. And I would like you to go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. Now, skipping through some things, verse 13 says, every man's work, not his soul. Your soul is already manifest that you're a son of God. Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, not soul, of what sort it is. Watch it, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive what? A reward. That's your inheritance. Not heaven. You're guaranteed that by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you work for him after you get saved, you're going to receive a reward. But watch verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But, and you got to get this, he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So when his works don't match up, he's going to lose, but he's not going to lose his salvation. He himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You see, the Bible does say that you're eternally secure. It's not a church doctrine. It's a Bible doctrine that has been perverted by people who do not believe what it said, either because it seems illogical to them and unreasonable to them, or because they have perverted it with a doctrine of misunderstanding and not clearly believing what God said. Or they've messed it up with self-righteousness, thinking that they are good enough to keep salvation, but you and I are so bad that we could lose it. It's unreasonable. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 to 39 are clear. They tell you, very simply, nothing can separate you from the love of God. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, he said nothing's going to separate you. So, why would you choose to believe that something can? You say, well, what about... Don't keep running to another scripture. I've shown you John 5:24, John 6:37, John 1:12, 1 John 3:2, Galatians 4, 5, and 7. John 10:27-29, Jude 24, Romans 5, 6, and 9, 1 Corinthians 3:15, Romans 8:38-39, they all say the same thing. You're eternally secure. You have everlasting life. You'll suffer loss, but you'll be saved, yet so as by fire, that you're now a son of God, and you're going to look like Jesus Christ when he comes. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You're in the hand of Jesus Christ, in the hand of God the Father. No man's able to pluck you out of those hands. You cannot fall out of those hands. God said, I will in no wise cast out. You've passed from death unto life. You will not come into condemnation. You have everlasting life. That's what it says. Why can't you believe what it says? All right, I'll turn you over to a verse of Scripture that often flips people over. Maybe this is where you're having your trouble. Maybe you'll say, God, I'm really glad he landed on that verse of Scripture. Right there was where I was having trouble. Well, I hope we can clear it up for you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Now, verse 10, for the context, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He didn't say that they may obtain eternal salvation only, but that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. There's glory that goes along with the salvation. Watch it. Verse 11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, oh, here it is, he also will deny us. Oh, there it is, preacher, right there. See, I told you, there's one of those verses you could lose your salvation. If we deny him, he'll also deny us. But that's not the end of the sentence. There's a colon there. It keeps going. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. You just didn't read far enough. The point is, he can deny you the eternal glory, the inheritance that goes along with your salvation. But he can't deny you the salvation. Why? Because when you get saved, the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's one of the mysteries. That's the indwelling Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when he's in you, bless God, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. And he'll see himself in you. You say, is it possible? Yes, it's possible. I've seen people that turn back to the world and get choked by the cares of this world, the lust of other things entering in, the deceitfulness of riches, and get carried away with that, like Demas. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. They turn back to that stuff and they look like a lost man. Terrible tragedy. They lose their eternal glory, but not their salvation, because Christ cannot deny himself inside of the man. So where are we going with this? 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. Not changing the scripture, just showing you what it says. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, you see? When you receive him, you've got him. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. There's no doubt about it, that you may know that you have eternal life. John knew. He wrote those right there. Paul did. Paul knew exactly where he was going when he died. 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. He knew where he was going. So in all of this stuff, we have learned that in fact the doctrine of eternal security in the Bible is a Bible doctrine, and it is right on its own merit. Not because of who believes it, not because of who doesn't believe it, but because of what the Bible says. The Bible says, you've passed from death unto life, you will not come into condemnation, but you have everlasting life. The Bible says, now you are a son of God by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore as a son, you're not going to lose your sonship. You're in the hand of God the Father, in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no way of falling out. He's given you eternal life that lasts forever. Eternal life. And they shall never perish. That's what he said. That nothing is able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That you are now justified. You've already been tried for heaven and hell, and you've been found not guilty because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can lose your eternal reward, but you can't lose your soul. He himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. God cannot deny himself when Jesus Christ is in you. And these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You know, sometimes people are so hard to convince, and I'm not really here to convince you. I've been very persuasive, and I have been convincing. But you know what I'm asking you really to do? Not to believe me, but to believe what God said. You know what I'm really asking you to do? I'm asking you to go to the Bible, look at the verses that I've given you in this broadcast, check the thing out for yourself, prayerfully consider those things before the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe what he said. Believe what he said. That's all you need to do. And then you will have the assurance of your salvation, and you won't rely upon your own self-righteousness, your own mental understanding, and your works to keep you saved. You'll do what you do out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ because he's already saved you and kept you by his eternal life.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.